Now,
Norm, where in the hell are your money people? All those things should be higher.
Much higher.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Well, let's get some money rolling.
It's the tariffs. It's the tariffs. It's about that. I got to ask you, before we even get into this thing, is that a Randy Galloway thoroughbred? Because I could actually use the $84 it's probably going to make in its lifetime.
Dale?
Is it a good horse?
You might want to get in on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you. 2 years ago, a fellow named Benny was the high bidder for this. His horse last year debuted as a three-year-old. It won three races and just a bit over $100,000. You get 10% of its earnings for its life. You pay none of the bills.
Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, I thought that was going to be the trick to this deal.
No, you pay none of the bills.
I just get 10% of the winnings.
If the horse makes $300,000 in its career, you get 30.
Wow, wow. That is how much is it?
Right now is at $7,800. Wow. You want to top that, Dale?
No, I'm retired, Norm. I've got no money. I'm waiting to get a notice from the Social Security office that they might even have to cut my Social Security check. So I'm retired and just struggling day to day and checking out the availability at the Austin Street Shelter if things don't improve here pretty quick. I
mean, by the way, we are all of that age that we should start waiting for Social Security to go down. All of us.
I think I'll be dead before the politicians have the nerve to do that. At least that's what I'm hoping.
You dying this week?
It's very possible.
I am not waiting for the Social Security to go up or down. I'm just waiting on tomorrow to get there. I want to be a part of it. And so far, it's working, hanging on, hanging out.
Well, you know, Galloway had the great line. I called him a couple of years ago, and I was kind of struggling with my retirement. I didn't talk about this a lot in the beginning, but that first year to year and a half was actually kind of hard for me for lot of reasons. I called Galloway, and I said, how do you handle this? How do you do it? He says, I'll tell you exactly how I handle it. I get up every morning with nothing to do. I do nothing all day, and I do it incredibly well. And I thought, I think I can do that. I like getting up late morning, having no idea what the day's going to hold. I'm just glad to see the sunshine outside my window.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You reach a point where you're thankful for stuff like that.
The only problem is my wife, because she's got something. Because I like doing nothing, but I try to dodge her at least for half the day, because she's always got something.
You got to change those air filters.
Well, I was just talking to one of the gentlemen here in the back of the room about this. This is one of the maybe the only advantage I can find to being 77 years old.
And you're older than that.
I know. I look 74, and I appreciate you guys thinking that, but I don't. The one advantage that I found to being 77, and this is true. I swear to you, this is true. I start watching all the old shows and movies that I know I've seen. I know, I'm in the middle of the fourth season of West Wing, one of my all-time favorite shows. I just finished watching Ozark, and I don't remember any of it. I don't remember any of it. I've watched The Bourne Ultimatum four times, and I still don't remember any of it.
The guy survives. Let me tell you that right now, okay?
It is. My wife will walk through the front room. The lovely Mrs. Hansel will walk by, and she said, "Are you watching this poker show again?" She said, "You were screaming." I said, "Shut up! I don't know what happens in this hand. I don't remember what happens in this hand." Yeah, and I just watched Ozark, which is one of the all-time great shows. I'm serious. I'm in the middle of the fourth season of The West Wing, and every so often I'll have a slight memory of a storyline. But I don't remember it at all. That's it. This is great. I can rewatch everything because it's all like it's brand new to me.
But isn't that the great thing about the Cowboys? Because you know how every season ends.
Right. You start every August with, I think I know where this is headed.
I'm going to watch, but you know where it's going.
Yeah, 30. I looked this up because I'm doing a podcast now, so I had to do, as I always did, Norm, as you well know, my exhaustive research.
Yes.
Think about this, because this really did actually surprise me. In 30 years, for the past 30 years, there's only one team in the NFC, the National Football Conference, that hasn't been to the conference, not the Super Bowl, forget the Super Bowl, hasn't been to the conference championship game, and that would be
The Dallas Cowboys.
There's three teams that haven't made it in the AFC, and it's Houston, an expansion team, Cleveland, an expansion team, and somewhat surprising to me, the Miami Dolphins. Four teams in the NFL have not made it to at least the conference championship game in the past 30 years. Two of them are expansion teams, Miami Dolphins and your Dallas Cowboys. Isn't that the most disgusting thing ever?
Look, nothing is going, we can bitch and bitch and bitch, but nothing is ever going to change until one of two things happens. Jerry either retires or Jerry dies. Now, the problem with this is he's never going to retire, and he's going to outlive all of it.
Exactly.
And so this just let it be, because nothing will change, and you can go back from 1995 on and look at it.
I don't think it changes if either one of those things happened, because it was like the Barry – and I heard Corby and you guys talking about Barry Switzer a moment ago. Rich Dalrymple, the PR director, one time called me and said, you know, do you realize if you and Galloway would shut up complaining and bitching about Barry Switzer, Jerry would fire him. But he doesn't want to hear you and Galloway going on the air going, hey, we tried to tell you. Well, now this is my thing. I bought into this for the longest time that when Jerry is done, however that might be, that Stephen would take over. And then it would probably get better.
Uh-oh.
Except Stephen Jones cannot hire a football general manager. Because if Galloway and I are still alive, we'd be the first two guys who would say, hey, so your old man was wrong all those years. Your old man was wrong, and you're finally admitting it. So Steven's going to keep doing it the same way they're doing it now. And as a result, nothing will ever change.
You know, people ask all the time about Jerry leaving, and Jerry should get a football man, and Jerry should quit. And I've been reminded for years about this. There was a gun, pro-gun bumper sticker that said, you can have my gun when you pry my cold, dead fingers off the trigger.
Yeah,
and that, I think, sums up Jerry.
Yeah. Here's the argument I've had, and I, as I say in this commentary I'm doing next month, I'm doing commentaries on the podcast, which is available wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Oh,
by the way,
a Dallas
dialogue with Dale. That's what we're calling it. And brought to you by Northwest Insurance Agency. So you guys can edit that out if you want. But I got to get that.
No, I think it's already out there, Dale.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Did I say Northwest Insurance Agency? Okay, good.
Twice now.
But here's the point I'm making, and I've never heard it. So Norm, correct me if I'm wrong about this. The Cowboys, after they traded Micah Parsons, which I think is one of the most brain-dead football decisions ever, because you need a quarterback, you need a receiver, and you need a pass rusher.
Right.
Everything else, you just fill it in with a guy named Larry. But if you can't find three dominant guys at those three positions, you've really got no chance. They had, in my opinion, all three of them. They've got a very good quarterback, which I've always defended Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and obviously, Micah Parsons is one of the best to ever do it. We've seen what happens after the trade. The worst part of that is Jerry and his acolytes start floating the rumors. Well, we had to let him go. I mean, he disappears in big games. He's kind of a diva. He's not a leader. He can't stop the run. He's overrated. All that crap that we read about for months. If that's really true, and this is my problem with Jerry Jones as a general manager of the football team. If that's really true, that he's overrated, he disappears in big games, he can't stop the run, they can't win Super Bowls with him anyway, as Jerry said, why was Jerry willing to pay him $40 million a year to stay?
Pretty fair question.
$40 million a year for a guy that disappears in big games, he's overrated, he can't stop the run, and you can't win with him anyway. And I haven't heard anybody say that since the day they made the trade. And it just proves the football stupidity of the man who's in this suite drinking the Johnny Walker Blue, thinking he knows a little bit about how to manage a football team.
Well, with Mike, Jerry just got pissed off.
Yeah.
Jerry thought he had a deal, or that's Jerry's story. And Jerry's pretty good with money. I mean, the most amazing thing in the world is He's got a disaster of a football franchise, and that same franchise is the most valuable franchise, sports franchise in the world. Those English cats and all their soccer or English football, they can't touch the Cowboys. And you know the Manchester United. Don't get me started on names. I'm not, but I do watch Wrexham. I do watch. That's a good show. But I mean, the Jerry thing is what I want to know first and foremost. With Mike, okay, this wasn't really the problem, but we hire a new head football coach, Schottenheimer. So they hire Shoddy, and I went, boy, that's bad. That's another one of Jerry talk. But it hadn't turned out to be that bad. But then, as suspected, Jerry does not let Shoddy, the head coach, hire the assistant.
Jerry hires the defensive coordinator
and his staff. Okay, Jerry would not know that guy. I can't even think of his name. What's his name?
Eberflus.
Well, he actually
worked here before.
I didn't pay any attention to him before. you've got these people that come in, but Jerry's not going to know Eberflus from anybody. So Jerry is from Mickey Mouse. He doesn't know Eberflus. But who is the guy whispering in Jerry's ear? We've talked about this for years.
The last guy
with his lips to Jerry's ear, that's going to be the deal that gets done. So who is the guy that said, Jerry, hire Eberflus?
Well, he might have made the decision on his own, but the problem is he made the decision on his own. The great Jimmy Johnson said in a book, the single biggest football mistake he made was when he went to the University of Miami replacing Howard Schnellenberger, and the athletic director at Miami says, we need you to keep Schnellenberger's entire staff. Jimmy's in a meeting. The guys who all thought they should have been the head coach, they're jingling their keys, as Jimmy told me one time during his talks at the chalkboard or whatever. You cannot have a man in charge of the coaching staff when the coaching staff thinks they work for somebody else. It happened to Barry Switzer in 94. He had about a half a dozen guys that thought they should have been the head coach. Switzer had no chance.
Well,
and it's been that way every step of the way.
Hold on. Are you making excuses for Barry Switzer?
I've always loved Barry Switzer.
I knew you had. that's Randy Galloway. That's Dale Hansen. We come back with more with them on the 25th annual Normathon on the ticket.
It's the CrestCars.com Normathon. Big name guests, fabulous auction items, and a great cause. Plus, a whole lot of Norm Hitzkus with a taste of the ticket team. Burning up the radio with cold hard cash. Brought to you by Willard Cooling, Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And live on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Text Rusty to 22126 for your chance to win a $100 gift card to Rusty Nickel Ice House. It's a football season at the Rusty Nickel Ice House. Catch college football pro games all weekend. Live music, cold drinks, and killer food truck eats. Visit the Rusty Nickel Ice House.com. Normathon.
This is Randy Galloway. This is Dale Hansen. This is the 25th annual CrestCars.com Normathon.
Wow.
The bids on the major auction items have started to move, and we cut those off at 6:30 and declare the winners on our air at 6:35. I've got some quick questions for the two of you. We know Dale was fired. Randy, have you ever been fired?
I was only fired 8 times. So I wasn't fired every time. I was only fired 8 of the 11 jobs that I've had in my life.
Whoa.
You know what? I have that. Now that I think about it, I have never been fired. I've been asked to leave, but that's been bars and everything else. So,
oh, okay.
But no, I don't think.
Really? Seriously?
I don't think I've ever been fired. Wow. Well, I only had 3 newspapers in 50 years. I mean, the Morning News sent me to the Port Arthur News. I was down there for a year. And then the Morning News said, okay, come back. And then I was there 33 years. went to the Star-Telegram and was there 16 or 17.
See, I think the problem was you were always so middle of the road and you just never took a stance. Right. You never really said much. You
had
no
opinion. Yeah. And then the radio, I always worked for Disney, which at the time was good, but they owned WBAP, as I used to call it. And then they brought the ESPN station in, and so they owned that. And so in 29 years on the radio, I was always with Disney, so there was no chance to be fired.
Let me flesh out one part of this story. There was always the argument that I was fired from the Cowboys radio broadcast in 96, and I finally got Jerry Jones to admit that I quit that job. But Larry Lacewell said during the Switzer era, when I was always saying all this stuff about Switzer on Channel 8, that, and then Brad Cham did a commentary in defense of me after that big blow-up we had in Austin at training camp. Larry Lacewell actually made the comment, well, I don't know if we can win a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer or not, but I know for a fact we can win a Super Bowl without Brad Cham or Dale Hansen.
Whoa!
And I would just say that I left the Cowboys broadcast in 96, and they have never been back to another Super Bowl. maybe just a coincidence. But it's been 30 years since I left the Cowboys radio broadcast, and it's been 30 years where they haven't won anything.
That's good. That is good, Anson.
if you hadn't made it in sports, what would you have done in life, Randy? Wow.
Bookmaker. I would have been a bookmaker. And I liked that. I even tried it when I was very young and got out. Had to go to Allied Finance.
Oh, my God.
Allied Finance in Grand Prairie, borrowed $1,900 from the late, great Frankie Gregory, who I'd gone to high school with. And that was $1,900. And in paying that off, I think I paid off like $9,000 on a $1,900 loan, but there was interest rate was mafia.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was mafia style. But, no, I love the bookmaker lifestyle. So I would have made book, and you would have been my first customer.
Would have put you on easy street from then on.
Norm, I would have had Norm, right? I would have had Norm. Norm, come on, brother.
I'm going to give you an honest answer as best I can. At the risk of sounding as arrogant as some people think I am, I think it's one of the reasons that I did have a relatively successful run in sports. And broadcasting is because I absolutely can't or couldn't do anything else. Had I not made it in broadcasting, at least to my satisfaction, make it in broadcasting, I am absolutely convinced I would have been a bum on a beach. I promise you I would have. I can't go to work 8 to 5. It just can't be done for me. I can't wait for the lunch bell to ring at noon like my buddy did at Mutual of Omaha for about 35 years. I tried selling. I was a bill collector. I did everything. Got fired from all of them. And I've said many times, and I was talking to one of the gentlemen in the back, that before I retired, and now I'm starting to realize how much family time I lost and gave up and missed because of what we did. But I don't have any regrets about it, and I think the lovely Mrs. Hansen always understood it because I think she, too, knew this is really the only option I had in my life.
You each have a love in your life. I want to address each of you. Randy, how did you fall in love with horses?
Early on, I was actually born in Kentucky, moved to Texas when I was 12. But I went to what is now Ellis Park. And my kinfolks, my father's family, they lived in Henderson, Kentucky, which is where Ellis Park is, right by the Ohio River. And so I was like 6 years old. My aunts, Aunt Jane and Aunt Hidgey, took me to Ellis Park. They were all dressed up. I was dressed. They dressed me nice. And I was betting horses at 6, and I went, boy, I like this.
When you have to jump up to put your money at the pay window?
Oh, no, they took the money, and they had given me $10. $10 was a a lot of money in about 1949. So they'd give me $10, and I would give them $2 to go bet. And there was a horse called Spiderweb, and I bet $2 to win on Spiderweb. He paid $6, and I said, this is the life. There ain't nothing to it. So that's why I would have been a bookmaker and a horse player and a gambler. And See, my gambling problems, Norm, are, and you've been known to make a few bets, Norm. You too, Anson.
A couple of times.
My problem is I only bet on teams I like. I'm stupid like that.
Oh, that's a.
But did you do it with horses?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's why.
Really? That surprised me.
Well, it's. I would bet a lot on trainers. And trainers, you know, are going to have their horses ready whether they win or not. But I actually did a lot better at the track than I do betting football, baseball. Because if I like TCU's getting 6.5 without its quarterback against USC on the 30th or 30th. And so we're all going to be down on the Guadalupe at Green.
You mean Grooney?
Grooney. I heard you say that earlier the day. Boy, you got no German in you. I mean. I'll bet 110 on TCU just because I want them to win the game, and I'll take the 6.5, even though their quarterback is like 40 years old. Ken Seals, who's been playing forever because their quarterback left town in the portal.
Here's my great horse racing story, Norm. I was dating Chris at the time. We went to Exarban in Omaha,
which is Nebraska
track.
Spelled backwards.
Exactly, and it was the big horse track there. And I was unfortunately known to gamble a little bit on everything back in those days. So I bet $50 across on this great horse that I was just in love with. And, of course, he runs like 7th in a 6-horse field or some nonsense. Chris is screaming. She bet $2 on a horse named King's Way. And I look at her as I'm now out $150 on a horse that was decided to jog most of the way around. And she won like $3.20 because her former boyfriend was named Don King. And I saw the name and I just had to bet on him. And I still ended up marrying the damn woman for some reason. I have no idea why.
Hey, I could tell you stories about my mom. 4'10" tall. 100% Polish. Who would go to the races, and she would keep a little hand tablet, and she'd watch the horses warm up, and she'd then bet the daily double based on watching the horses from the first race warm up.
My dad used to bet horses if they pooped before they went into the game.
Oh, that's a big theory.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big theory. That means they may have been fed, right, Randy?
Galloway invited me out to his suite out at Lone Star one day. I hit 3 exactly. Now, I always bet like the favorite, a pretty good horse, and then a long shot. And I hit 3 exactas, like out of the first 5 races. And they're all paying like $28 or whatever. But I'm betting $5 across. And a guy I think we all know, my buddy Larry Barnes. So I run into Larry, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm up again about like $90. I'm betting $5 across, and their horse is paying like $30 on the exacta better. But I've hit 3 of them in like 5 races. I said, how much would it cost to just blanket the field? I want to make sure I cash this next ticket. What would it cost for me to bet across on every horse, every combination? And he says, I'd be like $400 and some. I thought, hell, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. 2 of the longest shots in the race come in. The $2 exacta pays like $1,190. Larry comes running downstairs into Galloway's suite, screaming, drinks are on you. I said, well, I didn't do it. I thought about it, but I didn't do it. And then I don't think I ever cashed another ticket at Lone Star in the next 5 years. Galloway had me out there.
I want a quick idea from you, though.
Okay.
Randy's love of horses. Yeah. Where'd your love of poker come in?
You know, I honestly don't know. It started with, you know, Chris Moneymaker winning the World Series of Poker. I'm like a lot of guys that play poker now. When Chris Moneymaker hit it big in, what was that, 2001, I think, something like that, 2002, whatever. That's when I got started. I think it's the greatest reality show on television. I just started watching it, and I just love, I love the gambling aspect of it. I try to control it, certainly compared to what I used to do in Omaha, as too many people probably know, but I was in pretty bad shape. There was a point in my life where, luckily for me, the bookie got arrested, and I paid his bail so he could skip out. He was headed to prison, and so I gave him a pretty good chunk of cash to leave town, and that's the only reason I survived it. But I've had a few times where I'm driving home from a poker game that I thought, you know, I'm going to have, and this is true, she's in a musical tonight with her musical theater boyfriend, so I don't think she'll hear this. I've stopped, this is absolutely true, I stop at the ATM machine on my way home from a poker game and get quite a bit of cash so I can throw it on the table. I go, well, it wasn't a good day, but it wasn't that bad. Because, you know, I just got an ass beating at the poker game. And so she'll get up the next morning, and it'll be like $900 on the counter, you know, and she'll, did you do okay? I went, nah, you know, I lost a little, not bad. Well, I
now,
lost
Norm,
a lot.
You, can you actually watch poker?
Oh, it's fabulous.
TV? Norm, be truthful.
Okay.
There's no way. I love it.
Let me tell you. This is 20 years ago. I was hired to be the anchor announcer for the poker series up at Winstar.
Winstar, yeah.
And he has initials, Mr. DJ, DC. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about.
He was one analyst, and a female poker player was another one. And I sat there looking at the game saying, why do you do that? Why do you think you did that?
Well,
what do you think you did that? And that was my whole contribution.
Well, here's the flip side of what really got me in trouble, and it took me a long time to figure this out. If you watch poker on TV, you know, they just show you the best stuff. You know, they condense it all down.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really know that. So I thought people just pick up kings all the time, and they hit straights all the time, and you make a flush about every other hand. And I'm thinking, well, then all of a sudden I start playing, and I got queen six 42 times in a row. I mean, I'm like, what the? I actually watched, believe it or not, I watched a poker tournament from Monte Carlo, and they broadcast it live. And I started watching it at 9 o'clock at night, and it ended at 8:30 the next morning. And I sat in my front room, and I watched the entire thing live.
You ought to be shot.
True. And they play, the good players play maybe one every 20 hands. It would be fold, 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 raise, fold, 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 boom. It was the most incredibly boring thing I've ever seen. Well, then because I honestly didn't notice that, you know, the totals of the different players were jumping around. I was like, wait a minute, this guy had the button just a moment ago. Now he's got the button again. I honestly didn't know when it started that, oh, they just skipped like eight hands in a row because nothing happened. And then I kind of got into it a little bit. But I watch poker only when it's recorded, though, because if you watch it live, it'll kill you. Because these guys are like golfers nowadays. They just sit there and stare at the table.
I know.
Like, what, is something going to change? I mean, God, that drives me nuts. Figure it out. I mean, it's raise, call, fold. Those are your three options. Does it really take you 6 minutes to figure that out?
No. No,
so I record it, and then I just fast forward until the guy actually makes a play. And it's just fascinating to me.
That's Dale Hansen. That's Randy Galloway. One more segment before we draw the car winners.
Oh, wow.
And then the major auction item winners are announced.
Can we win the car?
Have you bought a ticket?
No, but I will.
It's too late, pal. We're sold out.
If the game is fixed, I will buy a ticket.
We've probably seen a couple of those, Randy.
Yeah, we have.
Randy, Dale.
Probably fixed a few.
Next on the ticket. Okay, we will at 6:30, thereabouts in the next break, cut off the bidding for the major auction items. If you're involved in the bidding, check. Check the totals. They are moving. We'd love for you to get these items and the bids up because every penny goes to Austin Street Center for the Homeless. Dale Hansen's here. Randy Galloway's here. Is there anything in your careers you wish you had done differently, Dave?
No. No, really. Did I make mistakes? Did I do stupid things? Have I done a lot of crazy things that I probably shouldn't have done? Yeah, but I was once again, I was talking to a gentleman in the back here. I just don't have any regrets about my life. I don't have time to worry about it, and I don't think about it.
Randy.
Dale should have regrets about his segments on Channel 4, which eventually fired him when he was wearing these stupid hats.
That was in defense of a friend of mine. That was absolutely one of my best moments.
You got to have regrets. I've got...
I wore the hog nose for Arkansas. Well, I was in town.
When you're a sports writer for 50 years and on the radio 29... Norm, you know, I've got regrets every day about something I said.
Do you really? No, wait. Do you really?
Well, I wish I hadn't written that the Mavericks shouldn't draft Michael Jordan. Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty big mistake.
I said Boston was crazy to offer any money to Larry Bird because I knew he couldn't play in the NBA.
No, and so just things. But as far as I'm with Dale on that, career-wise and job-wise, and my God, I could have no regrets. I'm shocked that any of that happened.
I should have left Louis a little bit earlier, a couple of nights, but I don't regret it.
Did you ever, Dale, come close to leaving here?
No, that's again another question. I'm looking at, I had three major offers early, on, ESPN Los Angeles and, Fox Los Angeles. And I told all three, I took a trip to LA and I told the guy, I'm not coming. He said, well, just take the trip. I said, well, I'll take the trip, but I'm not coming. ESPN called me in 83 and then Fox LA offered me a chunk of money, somewhere around 98, something like that.
But you had to live in L.A.
That's exactly my point. Okay. And I had to live in Bristol, Connecticut. And I love the fact the guy from ESPN called me in 1983. I just started at Channel 8. And he said, we're going to make you the Brent Musburger of ESPN, which at that time was a heck of a compliment. And then they decided to promote some guy named Chris Berman. I went to L.A. For that flight I took. And this is another true story. They offered to triple my salary, but that was nothing in L.A., and I turned it down, and they hired some guy named Keith Olbermann to take that job. And I keep trying to tell those guys, you owe me at least 10% of what you did.
Dale had these young guys that they would come through on Channel 8, and I'd say, boy, Dale, I really like such and such. No, he's trying to. He thinks he's on ESPN. He's trying to be ESPN. Yeah, yeah. All those guys are now on ESPN. and making a hell of a lot of money.
I tell you, Norm.
And doing great.
Yeah, but the day I came to Dallas, and Galloway knows this story, the day I came to Dallas to interview at Channel 4 was in August of 1980, in the middle of the hottest stretch that this city had ever seen. And I called.
It was hot.
I called my girlfriend, who's now been my wife for 43 years, and I swear to you, I said that very night, do you want to die in Dallas? Because I know I'm going to. And I died about 11 or 13 times, if I'm not mistaken. But no, I always used to have a lot of people say, oh, who the hell do you think you are? You know, you've had three or four guys leave you and go to the networks and go to ESPN. I said, yeah, because I don't want to. I never wanted to go cover the Philadelphia Phillies playing the St. Louis Cardinals. I wanted to see the guys that I knew playing somebody else that I knew. I don't care about Washington playing the New England Patriots. I want to see Aikman and Emmett and Drew Pearson and those guys play against somebody else. I needed that connection. And I loved everything about this city, and I loved my 45 years here.
Very quickly, Randy. Did you almost leave it all?
No, there were a couple of rumors. One of them, the National, remember when the National, that newspaper came out?
Yes, Frank DeFord's newspaper.
Yeah, right. And that there was a rumor, and started by a friend of mine, that they were going to hire me, and Dave Smith at the Morning News fell for it, and I got a hell of a raise.
Hell, started that rumor. You started that rumor. Well, what are you talking about?
I paid Steve paid $100 to start the rumor, so that worked. But, no, I grew up here. Norm, I was living in Odessa in the 7th grade and then moved here in the 8th to Grand Prairie. I lived in Grand Prairie for 60 years and went to school there, and I've lived here all my life. And thank God, this is where you want to work. Well, this is the greatest sports market in the world.
I love everything about this place.
And the greatest living conditions. I mean, I hate this weather today. When it's Christmas time, let's get about 30 degrees.
Absolutely.
I want blowing snow, because I know in July it's going to be 180. But still, it's the greatest place to work if you're in the sports business.
Lads, I really so appreciate you coming out today, giving us an hour of your time. Thank you.
I love driving to Oklahoma at least every 3 to 4 months. So it was my pleasure to come up here from beautiful Waxahachie.
Yeah, I even made the right turn to get here.
I drove right to it. It took 5 years, but I drove right to it.
Instead of going to Ardmore and having to come back. So. Norm, you're the best. Keep it going, brother.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you all.